Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Monday, September 15th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg's Borough Assembly has two open seats in next month's municipal election. Five people are running for the three-year terms, and KFSK is airing interviews with the Assembly candidates all week. One of the candidates is 57-year-old Bob Martin. He is a commercial salmon fisherman born and raised in Petersburg. I sat down with Martin at KFSK to talk about why he's decided to run for Assembly for the first time.
Well, I'm not running for any particular grievance. I think there are plenty of people generating ideas locally. So I'm not really bringing any answers or ideas, but I do think I'll be good at delving into the various issues, gather information, consider things with an open mind, and I think I'll work well with the other assembly members to try to agree on what we can and move something forward.
Can you tell me what makes you qualified for the role?
Yeah, I think I've been around it enough to stick my toe in the water. I've been an observer of the assembly process, and I've written letters, and I've spoken before the meetings. I've served on the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Board for about 15 years, and I've been on the Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Been on the Harbor Board since around 2010, and as you know, the Harbor Board's an advisory board, so there's not much decision-making power there. So I often would watch the assembly process and think, could I do that? Could I step up to this? And it's a big-time commitment. It can be pretty hard on a person. Never quite seemed like the right time, but now that my girls have moved out of the house, I have a little more time on my hands, and I think I'm ready to step up to that decision-making level and just try to help make the best decisions I can for Petersburg. Long-term decisions that hold up well over time.
Can you tell me what your priorities would be if you were elected to the assembly?
I think the first thing an assembly member can do is work on the housing problem. I've had more people come up to me expressing how housing is holding us back. We have jobs posted available in Petersburg, and we have kids a little older than my own who are ready to move back, and the housing is holding them back from that. So I feel like there's a great need, and it also touches on our economic growth to make housing available. I don't have any easy answers to that, but I really think we're going to have to open up the gate a little bit and maybe take some risk, because what we're doing now just isn't working. So that was just housing. But another priority for me is incremental economic development, fiddling with the knobs a little bit. You know, I think the harbor is a good engine for economic activity. I don't think we can count on fishing to increase, but I think there's interest in people keeping their boats here, maybe getting more boat work done around here. I think we can get a little bit more economic activity out of the small cruise ship tourism. I don't want to go wild with it, but I think we can handle a little more than we're getting now. So the harbor is a very important part of the puzzle there. And I think Petersburg Medical Center is a great way to capture our rising healthcare dollars and keep them back into the Petersburg economy. If we can keep it here, we're always better.
Can you tell us about one time you think the assembly got something right in the last year or so?
One particular example I recently spoke up about was the decision to move forward with the American Cruise Line dock. And I guess that's still in negotiation, but I had mixed feelings about that. I was for the project, but I was against the funding source, which was the Harbor Reserves. But ultimately, the assembly made their decision, and you win some, you lose some. I support what they're doing there.
What about a time in the last year or so when the assembly got something wrong that you didn't agree with?
Well, it was a tough one just recently, the sale of those two lots, the sale that failed to sell them to Dave Omer to develop two duplexes. I think we need to be very receptive to any housing opportunities that come across our plate here, and that was one of them, and I would have voted to go ahead with that. You know, maybe that's not the ideal place, and maybe it has an impact on the neighbors, but we really need housing. And I'm just really aware now, after having raised a family and watching them go off to the lower 48, I'm really thinking about what it would take to make it a viable option for them to move back here and raise their own family. And I had the benefit of spending an extra 20 years with my parents and my wife's parents, and maybe they'd want to do the same. Well, this makes me want to cry.
What do you want for Petersburg?
Well, I really care about Petersburg. You know, as someone who lived away from Petersburg and moved back, it had something. And I want it to continue to have the things that bring people back there's a lot of appeal to Petersburg for people maybe living here just in the summer, having a second home here, keeping their yacht here. But we grow our own, and what we really need long-term is to have young people move back here and plug into the economy and the school system and carry on this lifestyle that we've enjoyed here.
That was Bob Martin talking with KFSK. Martin is running for the Petersburg Borough Assembly in the October 7th municipal election. KFSK will be airing interviews with each assembly candidate every day this week, and these interviews and more information about Petersburg's municipal election can be found on our website, kfsk.org. Petersburg's Borough Assembly tonight will consider asking state and federal authorities for help dealing with rising sea otter populations in southeast Alaska. The number of sea otters in the region has skyrocketed since they were reintroduced here in the 60s. Sea otters consume a lot of shellfish, putting them at odds with fishermen. Proponents say they're causing trouble for the local economy and ecology because they're depleting the shellfish resource and taking harvest from fisheries. The proposed resolution would ask for disaster assistance for crab and dive fisheries in Southeast. It urges authorities and stakeholders to collaborate in creating a management plan. And it also asks the federal government to loosen regulations for how Alaska Native subsistence hunters can use harvested sea otters. Assembly members discussed this resolution in early August, but postponed their decision until tonight's meeting. Also tonight, the Assembly will take their final vote on three proposed changes to the borough's budget. The first change is for a harbor shed roof replacement project. It's an increased expense of $180,000 from the original budget. The project was budgeted for last year, but the work got delayed until this fall, so it's being carried over. The second new expense would fund a dam break study at the Crystal Lake Dam, which would map and calculate its hazard potential. The last study was done in 1985, and the dam's hazard potential is currently classified as high. The proposed budget adjustment adds $60,000 to the cost of the study, bringing the total cost to $116,000. And the other proposed budget change transfers a combined $15,000 out of the electric, water, and sewer departments over to the borough's Geographic Information System project. The borough says those utility departments use the information, and the funds are for ongoing support from experts. The Assembly has approved the budget changes twice. If approved tonight, they officially pass. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live. The commercial salmon season in southeast Alaska is mostly done. And while managers say enough fish made it to most spawning grounds, commercial harvests were low for most species. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports that pink salmon, the bread and butter for some fishermen, were surprisingly low.
Pink salmon run on a two-year life cycle, and odd years like this one normally see strong returns. But that's not what happened this year.
Having a poor odd year like this is especially unexpected.
Troy Tines manages commercial salmon fishing in Southeast for the State Department of Fish and Game.
As it turns out, this will likely be the lowest harvest in an odd year since, the late 80s.
Pink salmon harvest numbers are down across the state this season compared to the last odd year. Fishermen like Saners and Gillnetters rely on pink salmon, which return to the region in the millions. More are harvested than any other species. Nearly 59 million pinks were harvested in Southeast back in 2011, which was a record year. And this year, state managers projected a harvest of 29 million fish, but it's coming in at about 9 million short.
It was a disappointing season.
Phil Doherty is the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Saners Association. He's also a former longtime biologist for the state.
Without a doubt, everyone was hoping for, a bigger return and bigger catches, but it just didn't happen. It looked as if when we got going in the season, there were some pretty good catches coming in early, but it was very spotty, and it continued to be spotty.
Most commercial fishermen sell to large processors and get paid at the end of the season. So it's still unknown how valuable the region's pink fishery will be. In recent years, pinks have brought about 35 cents per pound. But every year, it depends on supply and demand.
obviously that's kind of the bottom line, you know, how much money fishermen make. They certainly like to catch a lot of fish, but, you know, the bottom line is how much money do they make after this season.
Lots of variables affect salmon runs. Most of what scientists can track happens in freshwater systems, whereas the ocean is more of a mystery. Then there's the weather. Although Southeast is a rainforest, late August and early September saw below average rainfall for much of the region. Some areas had no rain at all for nearly 3 weeks. Low water prevents salmon from entering streams to spawn, and fish there already face a lack of oxygen if they're crowded. Doherty worries about that. So does Tinas.
Primarily right now, it's going to affect our pink salmon and then possibly to a lesser extent, sockeye salmon. The sockeye in the region, for the most part, are inlet spawners. So they spawn in the inlet streams to lakes.
Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about that, but it's happened before and it'll happen again.
But they're hoping that recent rainfall will make a difference. Another valuable fishery in Southeast Alaska is chum salmon, mostly from hatcheries, and those harvests also fell short of expectations. There was a pulse early in the season, but it petered out. Fish and Game will release its final analysis of the salmon season this winter. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
It's getting harder for Alaskans to afford a place to live, whether that means buying a house or renting. That's the main takeaway from this month's Economic Trends magazine that focused on mortgage and rent prices. Alaska Public Media's Ava White has more.
When adjusted for inflation, monthly mortgage rate payments around the state are the highest they've been in over three decades, according to the report, and the increase has been dramatic. In 2024, the principal and interest payment on a typical mortgage was roughly $2,300 per month, 75% higher than in 2021, according to the study. Gunnar Schultz is an economist with the state and co-authored the report. He says that much of an increase is unusual in a relatively short time frame.
We had a full decade of relatively low mortgage rates during the 2010s. And we had even lower rates during COVID. But I think that combination of low rates, prices bid up with limited inventory, followed by steep rate increases is what led to that big jump.
That price surge doesn't include other expenses like utilities or property taxes. The report says a 20% down payment on a single-family home in the state increased by $25,000 since 2019. That combination of soaring mortgage rates plus inflated down payments have widened the gap between renting and homeownership in recent years. In Anchorage, the report says it costs almost $900 more to buy than to rent. The study shows one-third of Alaskans rent, though Schultz says they don't know how that number compares to prior years. But he says there are some general trends when it gets more expensive to buy a home.
When the cost of home buying rises, specifically talking about mortgage costs, more people will rent. I mean, just because those things are substitutes. Some people that would have bought a house if mortgage costs were at more typical levels will not buy a house because of where they are.
It's getting more expensive for renters, too. Throughout the state, rental prices jumped almost 5% this year, almost twice as high as the nearly 15-year average of 3%. That continues a trend of higher-than-normal rent increases that have become common since 2021, spurred in part by a tight housing market. The low vacancy rate gives more power to landlords to raise rents, the report says, because renters don't have many options. The Matanuskas, who sit in a borough, saw one of the highest increases in rent prices compared to the year prior. Schultz said the area has a unique situation that could be contributing to the hike.
They have something that lots of other places don't, and that is they've had consistent population growth. They also have had the most building of areas around the state.
Schultz says it's hard to say what rent prices might look like next year because of market uncertainty. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.